Well, this week, as part of our conversation, we're going to take a look at immigration and what's been happening under a Trump administration. There has, of course, been several executive orders pertaining to limiting migration and also pertaining to deporting undocumented immigrants here in the US. And of course, there's the ongoing discussion about the construction of the wall. Arjun, what are your thoughts on the recent executive orders, certainly the ban on immigration from the 7 listed countries, predominantly Muslim, and then we'll get into what's going on in terms of immigration and deportation around Mexico?
It was a surprise and then not a surprise. You know, the list of countries was a surprise because, as have often been noted, there have been no terrorist attacks in the United States from immigrants from these 7 countries. And then the Court of Appeals, in denying to reinstate the ban and overrule the temporary restraining order, noted in response to the government that the situation before, there had been no new information the government had presented that suddenly in the last few weeks the risk had gone up from these 7 countries, and so something new needed to be done. And since no evidence was presented, so it was, the argument before the appeals court was quite stunning in terms of the way the order came down and the things the government did not present. And I see they're not going to appeal to the Supreme Court, so that is also very interesting. What will come down as a new executive order, I don't know, of course. But you know, the direction of events is very clear and quite unhappy.
Well, Donald Trump made no secret of his position when it comes to immigration. Certainly, immigration from our southern neighbors and from Mexico, when he was on the campaign trail, the construction of a wall that he said Mexico would pay for was a major part of his campaign messaging. Now, of course, all of this discussion around immigration and stopping immigration is not happening in a vacuum. And we could really take a look back over previous decades and talk about what's been going on regarding immigration reform.
Yes, so the wall is actually a more surprising thing in terms of saying that it would curb immigration and reduce undocumented immigrants in light of the actual history. So the history of this wall dates back to Ronald Reagan's time when a large number of undocumented immigrants, especially from Mexico at the time in 1986, were allowed a path to citizenship. And then in return for that, there was also a decision to make the border much harder, to start building this wall. As you know, there's already a physical barrier for much of the length of the U.S.-Mexican border. And there's, of course, extremely intense patrolling on land and by air. And so that border was made much harder in the mid-1980s, and I think steadily more since then. But what happened to the undocumented immigration, or the number of undocumented immigrants since that time, is most interesting. It did not go down. It went up.
What are some of the reasoning behind that, or what are some of the dynamics behind that increase?
So before the 1986 law, the border was relatively open. People could come and go relatively easily. And many workers came from Mexico to work in agriculture, as is well known, and other areas, construction and so on. Low-wage labor wasn't the only thing, but that was a big part of it. But mostly the people who wanted work came, and there, it was easy for them to go back. The cost was not very high. And so the number of immigrants, undocumented immigrants, in, say, around 1980 was about 2 million. It started to grow in the early part of the 1980s, and partly, I think, the idea that we're going to build a wall was because the number of undocumented immigrants began to increase. Began to increase because the United States increased interest rates. Mexico went into a debt crisis. In significant measure, because the United States tried to save the dollar at the end of the 70s and the oil crisis. We should come back to that some other day. The number of undocumented immigrants went up by about a factor of 2 in 5 or 6 years. But many of them were then legalized. So the number of undocumented people went down again. But what happened with the wall was now it was very difficult to cross. So the people who came could not go back easily. They needed coyotes. They needed to pay a lot of money to get across. And so instead of going back and forth and going home and leaving their families there, they started moving farther away from the border because living near the border became more difficult and dangerous. And so in terms of being caught and deported. And so since they were staying here longer, they sent for their families. Now you had more people who needed to go to school, more people who were older, smaller fraction of undocumented people who were in the workforce. And the undocumented population grew to 11 or 12 million at the beginning of this decade. So the wall act and hardening the border, what is proposed to be intensified, actually increase the number of undocumented people in the United States.
Well, what about some of the trade agreements, and particularly NAFTA? And Donald Trump has also made abolishing some of these trade deals a major part of his platform as well. But in terms of pushing people further north, the NAFTA agreement has also acted, or the wall has also acted, to keep people in the south and to keep a pool of low-wage labor there as well.
Yeah, so the role of deportations and, in a way, deterring people from coming, you know, because the high cost deters a lot of people from coming, not only from Mexico, but from farther down Central America and so on, because a lot of people don't have the thousands of dollars and many people don't want to undergo the very dangerous journey. So my friend Maria Jimenez, who has worked at the border and who's originally from Mexico, she opines, and I agree with her, that a large part of the idea of deporting people and making the border very hard is to keep a large pool of low-wage labor there. So now when the mobility of capital, easy for large corporations to set up factories across the border. When they do that, there's cheap labor available. So she has actually likened the function of the Border Patrol, economically speaking, to the fugitive slave police, where the federal government and the slave owners used to cooperate to catch fugitive slaves and return them to their slave owners in the days before the Civil War. And the economic function would appear to be similar because you're assuring a pool of cheap labor. Wages in the United States, total compensation per hour, maybe about 10 times what they are in Mexico in industry, roughly speaking. So that's, of course, a pretty big, hefty increase in profits when you export capital and manufacture there. It's not all profit because you have some transaction costs and some transportation costs and so on.
Now, Donald Trump has also said that he would penalize companies from moving off their labor pool to countries like Mexico, encouraging them to stay here in the US. But he's also said that the wall will be financed in part through a tax that would be placed on imports from Mexico. If any of that were to manifest itself, would that have an impact on these dynamics?
Well, you know, I've long maintained, as you know, that this Mobility of capital without mobility of people is a recipe for problems, because it encourages people with money and corporations to export to cheap labor areas, and then it creates unemployment here and distress here and deindustrialization. Of course, it provides some industrial jobs, but NAFTA has been quite difficult for many, many, many Mexicans, especially in the agricultural areas. So many small farmers have suffered, and this is why many of them opposed NAFTA. And so what you have is these differences of wages being perpetuated. And so long as capital is mobile, I don't think that this hardening the border is going to work. The tax is quite another matter. I think, of course, the tax will make imports more expensive, but I think it's not realized that this economy, the profits in this economy, are now largely dependent on those differences in wages. So you manufacture clothes and shoes and so on at very low cost, and then you mark them up much more than before, and all of that goes into Madison Avenue and the advertising that goes on endlessly, in the excess profits and stuff that winds up in hedge fund managers' pockets and so on. So I don't think that it is going to be so easy to put a tax at the border and assume that the economy is simply going to go along sailing as before. I think, given the dependence on of profits on cheap imports, the economic implications may be quite severe.
In terms of how people are reacting to all of that here in the US, certainly the reaction in many cities is to protect the immigrants, particularly those who are undocumented. And we're seeing more and more cities and communities declaring themselves as being sanctuary cities. Many communities here in Colorado are using that term, albeit it's not a legal term, but they are just making these proclamations that immigrants and migrants are safe regardless of their status here in these cities. And I think there's another term being used by Santa Rosa in California. They're calling it an undivided city. I mean, what are your thoughts on the reaction that we're seeing here?
Well, I think my overall view is that either the world is going to evolve toward freedom and a universal democracy, or we're going to go backwards into very terrible, difficult, violent times. You know, the times of manifest destiny, the times of imperialism, they were extremely violent times. Those who only see the bright, technological, prosperous side of the West haven't looked at the underbelly of it, the opium wars that made England very rich, the genocide of the Native Americans, and so on. But there is a side of the U.S. history where people did escape poverty and misery and oppression and war and came here. And I think a lot of that spirit is today welcoming immigrants, going to the airports, you know, arguing against the ban and so on. I think overall the system is either going to look like apartheid, and I think this border is a part of global apartheid, the U.S.-Mexican border. It has a very, very long history going back, not very long, 150, 170 years going back to the Mexican War and U.S.-Mexican War in the 1840s. But I think, I do think that the world will either move toward global democracy, which requires more open borders, with less incentive for people to move. And the only way you can do that is to make the areas where wages are low more prosperous and wages higher. So Americans have a choice. It's going to be cheap things in Walmart and cheap labor abroad and more misery here. I do not believe that the status quo ante before of the 1950s can be restored by a border tax and by border walls, or we are going to have better conditions in Mexico and Bangladesh and so on. Vietnam, Philippines, Africa. And we will have more jobs here in the United States. Of course, there's no reason why there shouldn't be more industrial jobs in the United States. I very much favor that.
Well, we shall see how all of this plays out as we're anticipating more executive orders and certainly more policies coming down regarding immigration and refugees and everything that we've been discussing here. Arjun, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Maeve. Look forward to talking to you again.